But before I composed myself to approach, Captain Jaggery turned to the man who had rung the bell, and I heard him say, "Mr. Hollybrass, we are short one." Mr. Hollybrass, I was soon to discover that he was the first mate, looked scornfully at the assembled men below. Then he said, "The second mate did the best he could, sir. No one else could be got to sign articles. Not for anything." The captain frowned. Then he said, "The others will have to take up the slack. I'll not have any less. Have the men give their names." Hollybrass nodded curtly, then took a step forward and addressed the assembled crew. "Give your names," he barked. One by one, the sailors shuffled forward a step, lifted their heads, doffed their caps, and spoke their names, but slumped into broken postures again once they returned to the line.
"Dillingham, Grimes, Morgan, Barlow, Foley, Ewing, Fisk, Johnson, Zachariah."
When they had done, Hollybrass said,
"Your crew, Captain Jaggery."
At first the captain said nothing. He merely studied the men with a look of contempt, an attitude that, because I shared it, made me respect him even more.
"Who is the second mate?" I heard him ask. "Mr. Keach, sir, he's at the wheel."
"Ah, yes," the captain returned. "Mr. Keach. I might have guessed." He studied the line of sailors, smiled sardonically, and said, "But where, then, is Mr. Cranick?"
"Sir?"
Hollybrass said, clearly puzzled.
"Cranick." "I don't know the name, sir."
"Now there is an unlooked-for blessing," the captain said, his manners nonetheless courtly. All this was said loudly enough for the crew and me to hear. Captain Jaggery now took a step forward.
"Well, then," he said in a clear, firm voice, "it's a pleasure to see you all again. I take it kindly that you've signed on with me. Indeed, I suspect we know each other well enough so each understands what's due the other. That makes it easy."
His confident tone was tonic to me. I felt myself gain strength.
"I have no desire to speak to any of you again," the captain continued. "Mr. Hollybrass here, as first mate, shall be my voice. So too Mr. Keach, as second mate. Separation makes for an honest crew. An honest crew makes a fair voyage. A fair voyage brings a profit, and profit, my good gentleman, doth turn the world. But," Jaggery continued, his voice rising with the wind, "I give warning."
He leaned forward over the rail, much as I'd seen teachers lean toward unruly students.
"If you give me less, one finger less, than the particulars of the articles you have signed, I shall take my due. Make no mistake, I will. You know I mean what I say, don't you? No, we shall have no democracy here, no parliaments, no congressmen. There's but one master on this ship, and that is me."
So saying, he turned to his first mate.
"Mr. Hollybrass."
"Sir?"
"An extra issue of rum as a gesture of goodwill toward a pleasant, quick passage. Let it be understood that I know the old saying, no ship sails the same sea twice."
"Very good, sir."
"You may dismiss them," the captain said.
"Dismissed," echoed the first mate.
For a moment, no one moved. The captain continued to look steadily at the men. Then slowly, but with great deliberation, he turned his back upon them.
"Dismissed," Hollybrass said again.